Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this message would be a blessing to you.
You didn't, wasn't your pitter-patter when I heard you praying? And it's a good time to pitter-patter out of here because Kate's waiting for you. And so be dismissed. Praise the Lord. The other thing is, just a bit about the teaching on the different Jewish feasts. We are doing it in two sections this year, picking up on the March 21st, March 27th, April 3rd, April 10th. They're all Wednesdays. And basically, we're picking up all the feasts that are related to this time of the year, the Jewish feasts. And so we want to be able to be informed and understand that when we read the scriptures, why these feasts take place. And so the first one is going to be an overview of all the feasts. The next one's going to be the Passover and the unleavened bread and first fruits, and then Pentecost. Those are what we're going to be doing in the next four Wednesdays, and invite you to be a part of it. And then we're going down to October 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd, and we'll announce that later when we'll talk about the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Tabernacle, and the Sabbath. So it's, it's rich to understand why the people that God called to himself to walk with had these feasts, and what caused it, and so, and what allowed it, and what happened. So I really want to invite you to be a part of that. Looking forward to having lunch with the pastors at the pastor's house today. That's where I kind of hang my hat. So we're looking forward to those. Better come, eh? Because we've catered for 40 people, so you best pitch up, otherwise I'm going to be eating the same food for a long time. So we look forward to having you. Darcy, we will not turn you away, sister. Praise the Lord. We will not turn you away if you pitch up. Hallelujah. Valerie sends her love. She just ran away so she can start heating up food for 40 people so that we don't have cold food. So I'm very grateful for that. Happy to share the word with you this morning. Posture your heart to hear what God's saying, not what Rod's saying. God's saying, because and this is the 10:30 edition. I just want to let you know, 10:30 edition may not be the same as the 8:30 edition. So those that are watching us for a second time on live on stream, it may be a little different, but that's the Holy Ghost's fault, not my fault, because he'll use a donkey, he'll use Rod. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we've been talking about walking with God. So important to understand that. And Daniel talks about those. The people who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And that's what we want to do. We want to do great exploits because we walk with God. We walk with him. And it's about walking with a holy God. It's not walking with a God that we kind of made up. It's a process and it's a journey where we learn and grow how to walk with God. And I've known that I've altered my walk. I've altered my posture as I've walked with God these many years. And so as you journey, the way some of you walk, I remember, used to walk like that, but I can't walk like that with God anymore because he's moved me along in the journey, and it's so important that we understand that. So we're not going to take our cue from the world, how to walk with God. We're not going to take our cue from religion, because that made a good mess of it, how to walk with God, and have put a taint on walking with God. And you can't do it your way. You've got to do it God's way. And so God wants us to get in step and walk in agreement with him. And Amos 3:3 says, can two people walk together unless they agree? It's important that you do that, even in your friendships. There's some people I just can't walk with. Some people I can. I used to be one of those people that I chose my friends. My friends never chose me. And I would make sure that those that I walked with, we had similar values, similar interests, similar directions. And some of them I would not walk with them because I would be in jail right now. So I don't want to do that. And so it's important that you're walking in step is a military requirement when you're training guys in the military to walk in step. And when we command them to, by the left, quick march, it means that they will take off with their left foot and walk with your left foot leading. And you'd also keep yourself aligned with the person on your left. It's a command, one command, and everybody abides by it. And you walk in step. It's kind of what we used to drill them in making sure that we walk in and get from A to B in a smart, uniform manner and not... And God have mercy if you take off on the wrong foot. Because those boots that I spent 2-3 hours at night boning them, that's what you call, you polish them so you can see your face in them, and your heels the same, because that's what the instructor requires, that your shoes look that smart. And then you take off with your right foot, and I take off with my left foot. You're going to be kicking my heels, and then there's going to be trouble when we are dismissed, because a rifle butt's going to come and hurt you badly, because you've just messed up 3 hours of my sleep, and I've got to go and bone those things again. And so we got to understand, it's critical that we walk in step. And so the way we walk in the kingdom, we have to walk in step with God, and that's a walk of humility. We've got to understand that part of our walk and our posture of walking with God has got to be humility, and it's critical. Humility is the key component if we want to walk with God. In Micah 6, verse 8, it says here, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you to do. What is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There he tells us, one of the things I require is that you walk humbly with me. Key requirement with walking with God is walking humbly. Without humility, we are out of step with God. You're taking off with your right foot, and you should be taking off with your left foot. And God wants us to be aware of that. But now in this whole journey and this walk of humility with God, God is encouraging us that there is a position I want you to understand. There is a place I want you to posture yourself. And there is a prize I want you to go for. And those are 3 points I want to bring out to you today, that in your walk with God, he's encouraging you, there is a position that I want you to be in, and I want you to have this place, and I also want you to understand that there is an incredible prize. And so in this place of humility and walking with God, we've got to get to understand that and understand the steps it takes to do that. So let's talk about what is the highest position one can achieve with walking with God. What is the highest calling? And obviously you get to think and you say, well, the apostle is definitely the position I need to sort of realize that is the highest position. And some think, okay, the dean of the Bible school, or being the elder of a church, or standing behind this pulpit and preaching, or being the senior pastor of a church. That is the highest position. I just want us to see in Scripture what it actually is. Scripture will teach us this morning. It says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. James 1:1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You understand the highest position you will ever attain in the kingdom of God is the position of a servant. People don't like that, especially non-servants. They don't like that, the ones who want to be served. But Paul and Timothy and James and Peter clearly understood that their first and their most important position was the position of being a servant. So the highest position is being a servant. So, yes, I use this at home, and I know how to put it on. And I put this on because this is the posture of every position, every title, every calling that God places on your life. You best be wearing this. This is your uniform. One of a servant. We need to understand that, because they're consistent in making sure. Last time I tied such a knot, I couldn't get myself out of this in the first service. Hallelujah. But Matthew 20:28, it says here, just as the Son of God did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. Here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is our example. He says, I didn't come for a title or a position or to be ranked in any way. I've come to serve. And that's what he did. Philippians 2:7 says Jesus gave up his divine privilege and he took the humble position of a slave. Some scriptures say a servant, and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in the obedience to God and died a criminal death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. So this is what you understand from the scriptures, that the world system would want you to have status and want you to have position and title and control over. And in church, well, that's your, what's your calling, brother? Are you evangelist? Are you a teacher? Are you a leader of thousands? What is it? No. We had the same problem when the disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, were looking in for a position to be left and right of Jesus when he gets to heaven. And he answered this in chapter 10, verse 40. Jesus said, "I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the one he has chosen." He's the one that's chosen. And you get chosen, like Val was speaking about. You're chosen, but you need to choose. You need to choose to be a servant. Verse 42, it goes on, "And you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." It requires us to be a servant. And so we are called to serve. Our position and our calling is for service. And regardless of your title, your position, or what ranking you have on planet Earth, for God, you have to be a servant. That's it. You got to serve people and serve the Lord. Our identity is not what we do or a title. It's whose we are, son and daughter of the Most High God. And that should make you sound and settled, so you don't have to strive, push, climb over everybody to be somebody, to be seen. I see people coming in this door, and I know their agenda. They want to get behind here. I tell you what, with me, it's a long way from there to here. And you best make sure you pack chairs, clean the toilets, take the trash out before you even stand up here. That's where I go with me. And identity is not on what you own either. I have a lovely 2010 paid-for green Toyota Corolla. It's paid for. Insurance is cheap. Gas is just takes a... no gas to really run around. Everybody knows me because it's green. I don't care. Air conditioner works. Thank God for that. And so Luke 12:15 says, life is not measured by how much you own. No. Used to go down to a church from Zimbabwe down to South Africa, to Joburg, and go to a church there and for a few conferences. And one day it was pointed out to me that this man that in the parking lot would help everybody in and out the parking area. And I was told his name, can't remember it, but he'd been doing it for 6 years. And come rain or shine, come cold, and Joburg can get cold, he would be out there. And to find out that he was in the top 10 richest people in Johannesburg. And that's what he's doing. He's a multimillionaire, and that's what he did. That was his position. That's where he found what God wanted him to do. And he could have bought all the cars and the building and everything else. And he used to get so much abuse from spirit-filled Christians in that parking lot. Just ridiculous, okay? And I've been among many leaders and very few are servants. And it's an indictment against them, because God wants us to lead from the front, and that's how you lead. You need to be the servant. Went to once with 25 pastors up to West Africa, to Dion Robert's church in Ivory Coast. And so when we arrived there, we were going through customs and immigrations and doing our thing. And we went to the turnstile to go and get our luggage, and there was a couple of the church people there come to pick us up. And I go to grab my suitcase, and this gentleman up in front grabs my suitcase and puts it on the cart and stuff. And I just said, thank you. And I get introduced to him as the senior pastor of an 80,000-member church. Here he is, taking my suitcase off the turnstile and putting it on. And that for me spoke louder than anything else. I will listen to what you have to say. If that's the kind of heart you have, I will listen to you. And so, but I also have been with leaders where I know what they like drinking. I know what they like doing and the whole thing. And I love to serve, so I would make sure that they had drinks. And And one day he says, man, I just love getting served. And I said, brother, you understand that the greatest in the kingdom is a servant? And I said, so I will have great pleasure in serving you here for 70 years, but you're going to be serving me in eternity for the whole time. So I can do 70 years, you got eternity. So I'll look forward to you serving me. Didn't like that so much. I wanted to include that in his sermon. But so the highest position you want to walk with God is being a servant. Secondly, what is the highest place? Mark chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. What's your place? Last. What's your place? Least. Because that's where God knows your heart. He can trust people with you then, if he knows your heart. Success in the kingdom is not ones that you are have authority over or you oversee, but it's how many you get to wait on, to serve, to help, to lift up, to bring along. I want to tell you that Coastal is made up of teams of servants. Teams of servants. They all roll up their sleeves. This is not Rod and Val's church. There's no ways we could do any of this without having the servants that we have in the house. Every one of them don't mind stacking chairs. Every one of them don't mind picking up the trash, don't mind cleaning the toilets, don't mind blowing the driveway and driving golf carts and knocking and greeting people at the door. None of them, they find it an honor and a privilege to serve the bride of Christ. That's the team we have here in Coastal, and I'm so honored to be a part of that. Yeah. So we can't take the glory, church. We cannot take the glory. The glory belongs to God. Whatever God is doing, whatever is happening, it all belongs to God. And we are his body. It's him working in and through us. That's what we got to understand. Philippians 2, 3, verse 3, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Verse 8 and 9 says, and when Jesus appeared in human form, he humbled himself in the obedience of God and died a criminal death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor. The highest place is not to be seen. That's the highest place. And if you take the back seat, God will give you the front seat. God will lift you into more and over more. It's not you to try and clamber over, push your way through. And when you seek to serve and not to be seen, then God promotes. That's what happens. And why does that happen? Because God says, yeah, you are trying to humble yourself. And when you look again, you're standing in front of the whole pulpit preaching to people. I always just wanted to be an electrician, just serve the body of Christ and everything else. And I look again, I'm standing here. I tried getting out of it. In Zimbabwe, couldn't get out of it. Tried to get out of it in South Africa, couldn't get out of it. Came here to America, Flagler Beach, I'm still not out of it. So I've just given up. I just have to stand up behind the pulpit and do what I have to do. But it's not my wiring or my design, but my heart for people is what kind of has landed me in this place. And so I've got to understand it. But God wants to raise you up with the right heart so you can help others be raised up. But don't be raised up so you can be seen. You get raised up so you can help others up. The reason why Coastal is being raised up here is because there's a needy, dying world that needs to be raised up and helped. And so we need to posture ourselves to help those others that are there. And so when people come to me and say, shall we call you Pastor? Pastor Rod. I said, listen, I'm just used to Rod. But if you call me Pastor, it does two things for me. Firstly, it reminds me of my responsibility. And secondly, it also tells me that's how you receive me. And then you get a blessing by the way you receive my gift. If it's a prophet, then you get a prophet's reward. If it's a pastor, you get a pastor's reward because you acknowledge the gift God has placed in the body. That's all it is. For me, this church has never been on titles and positions. Not deacon so-and-so, an elder so-and-so, an apostle so-and-so. No, no. We just put our trousers on just like anybody else, and we're just doing our best in Jesus here, and here we go, okay? So the glory belongs to God. He shares his glory with no man. Val and I have seen the horror of man taking God's glory. And we are part of an incredible church that was growing up in Harare, Zimbabwe, watching God do incredible things. And we got to a place where we landed up being the biggest church in the city. And I remember the very boardroom and the very time and where there was the pastor and the wife sitting in that boardroom when he said what he said and changed the whole future of the church. All the time he would say, look what God has done, look what God has done. But that morning at the boardroom table, he said, look what we have done. And when he said those words, not twice, just once, everything went for a ball of wax. We became crushed by everything went south. That's why you've got to understand, don't touch God's glory. Do not touch God's glory. We've seen the horror of it. So the way up is down, church. That's the way the kingdom works. The way up is down. There was this gentleman we knew that traveled and ministered, and he was on his way to minister at a city, and he got to sit next to a lady that had a baby that was about 6-7 months old, a little boy, and they got chatting and while they were flying, and eventually the lady said, please would you hold my baby while I go to the bathroom? And he said, oh, I'd love to. And he was holding the little guy and realized that the little guy had club feet. And so God just encouraged him to pray for him, and he prayed, and a visible miracle. The feet grew out and was completely whole. The little guy's legs were completely whole. And so now what do you do when mom comes back? He just handed baby back to her, didn't say a thing. Got off the plane, never knew a thing. That is how the kingdom works. You allow the miracle of God to flow through you, and don't write a book about it and have seminars about it. Just do what the kingdom of God is all about. And that's being lost, not being recognized. But I know that mom would know something happened. Something happened while she went to the bathroom when she handed that baby over. Luke 1, verse 52, it says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Matthew 23, verse 12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. What is the highest position? Being a servant. What's the highest place? Being last or being least. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. And the last point I want to bring up is the highest prize. You know, I'm motivated when there's a prize at the end of it, you know. If there is something I'm going to go for and there's a prize at it, and it's going to wind me up and it's going to get me going. And it's something that motivated me when I was 39, I was going to get up and I was going to do a half marathon, full marathon, ultra marathon, and then a 55 miler. And then I was going to do the August race, which is 33,000 guys racing on about a 70 or 80 mile race. And then I was going to do the big walk. All these things were my bucket list. And so I decided, okay, for me to do that, 5 till 7 in the morning, every day except Sunday, I needed to train. And I did. And I accomplished all those in the bucket list. But there was always this goal. If I didn't have a goal that I was going to do this race or I'm going to go for that, I would never get up at 5 till 7 in the morning and run and train. I've got to have something that will grab me. And God is saying there's a prize for all of us that should get us up, motivate us, like it had been motivated you guys to be here this morning, is because there's a prize. And I want us to see that prize and understand that prize is obtainable for us. And so Paul, he says that there is a goal. There is this high prize. What is the prize that Paul is aiming at? And Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press towards the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He understands there is a prize in Jesus that he wants to press towards and obtain. So just before that, he says this in verse 14, in verses 4 and 6, he lists the accolades and all the things that he's accomplished. And I want you to see what he says about that. And in chapter 3, verse 4, he says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And that boy can go and retire now. He's got every accolade, he's got every medal, he's got everything. All the gongs, he's got it. See what he writes about it here. Verses 7 and 8. But what thing were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ. He says all the stuff that planet Earth would offer you, throw at you, bless you with, give you, all your accolades, all your degrees, everything else is, he calls rubbish. Let me just amplify the word rubbish. I think the Old King James says it best. Animal dung, animal feces. That's what he calls his accolades. Man, he's the Pharisee. He's the Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, I consider it all dung. Consider it all dung for the prize that I may gain Christ. Man, if we got Christ, we have the prize. And understanding the prize goes on to talk about in verse 10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. What humility that was. He wanted to know Christ, and we get glimpses of Christ as we journey with him. You see facets of Christ and his reflection of God the Father, and we just see glimpses of it. And we got to understand that that is the prize that God says, I want you to attain. He says, I want you to get the prize of Christ. In Isaiah 57, 15, verse 15, it says, high and lofty one who lives in eternity. Talking about God now. This is Isaiah's words. The Holy One says, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. The Almighty God chooses to live with those who have a spirit contrite and are humble. That's where he will abide. That's what he'll hang out with. So if our posture is not like that, he doesn't want to hang out with us. He says, no, I prefer to go and find those guys that are contrite and humble. I want to hang out with them. That's the way we walk with God. Psalm 138, verse 6, though the Lord is great, though he's magnificent and he's amazing, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Oh, if you want to know what God is, who will resist you, he will say, speak to the hand. If you pitch up and in his vicinity with pride, it stinks in his nostrils. He says, you've got nothing to be prideful of. Nothing. Nothing. And so he wants us to understand that our confidence needs to come from being in Christ. Being in Christ. Matthew 11, 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If we are to reflect and resemble the King of Kings and be the billboard for the kingdom of God, we need to carry this humility and this love for people the same way Jesus did, because that's how he walked. Humility should be clearly a mark of the maturity of man as he goes. And the more mature, the more humble we should see. And if you're growing old and not maturing, the only thing you're doing is growing old. And so we really need you to see, am I growing old and am I maturing? And maturity can be seen by humility, and that's important. James 4, 6 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'm going to close with this thought and this understanding of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is just one of those great ones that were used to author a big chunk of the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. He went to the third heaven, and in the third heaven he saw things that such revelation that he couldn't communicate it. And then the stuff he did communicate with us, you read some of it in Romans. Don't have a cooking clue what he's saying. I still don't know. I have to have a meeting with him when I see him up in heaven one day and say, what were you talking about there, Paul? I mean, you're way over me, and nobody can explain it to me. And here is this Paul. His conversion took place around 37 AD. I don't want to argue about when, but his conversion came out obviously after Jesus. Jesus was like about 33 AD, he was crucified. 37 AD is when Paul got his conversion. And then Paul got Paul's death was in 66 AD. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 56 AD. 20 years, he's been saved 20 years now. 10 years before his death, he writes to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of all apostles. 20 years into this, he says, I am the least of all the apostles. He ranks himself in the apostles. Then he goes on 6 years later, 3 years before his death, he writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, I'm the least deserving of all God's people, all believers. So he's not only the least of the apostles, now he's now in a place where he realizes, I'm the least of all believers. His understanding, as it comes to God, humbles you. And then 2 years later, 1 year before his death, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He has now graded himself as a sinner. You understand that when you walk into the presence of God, and the more you get to understand it, you realize, man, by the grace of God, I go. And when you think you can rank yourself and think you're somebody, yes, I am so important to the King. I'm his son, and he loves me, and I'm the best thing, and he spins around under a violent emotion of joy when he sees me in the morning, and I don't know why, but he does. That's the love of my God. For me, not for what I've done or will ever do, but that's what he does. So humility is a hallmark for those who want to walk with God. And I want to just leave that on the table today and just realize that the highest position is a servant. The highest place is to be the least and to be last. And the highest prize is to know Christ. If we are going and attaining those things, the kingdom of God's going to advance in every avenue of your life and your world and your sphere and your metro. You'll see the kingdom of God advance because God's going to be all over you and in your face and in your space because he's going to be so happy. But when we got our own agendas, when we're going for our own thing, then he just says, okay, well, go and do your thing. And go and do the best you can. But if you want to walk with me and see the blessings of God flow through your life, attain these highest things. And I feel God would just make your life so fruitful. Amen. Father. Father, your word is a spotlight to us. It comes and examines us. It positions us. It reveals where we actually are. And so, Father, as we've looked at the scriptures this morning, it clearly sees that maybe our priorities may align more with something else than what your word says. And so, Father, we're under the spotlight of being a servant. How do we feature, Lord? In the place, are we trying to attain a certain rung up, a ladder, a position over others? Or we are humbling ourselves and allowing ourselves to be promoted by you and not by ourselves? And is our heart for the prize of knowing Christ? Is that part of it, or Lord, are we pressing towards a different prize? A prize that's empty. A prize that does not have eternity in mind. Holy Spirit, would you evaluate us today? Will you adjust us? Church, posture your heart and ask Holy Spirit to adjust what needs to be adjusted. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He'll invite you. He'll encourage you. That's the voice of Holy Spirit. Some of us in the sound of my voice haven't invited Jesus on board. Like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, you haven't allowed Jesus to take the wheel. You're in control of it. And maybe today you want to invite Jesus to come and take the wheel of your life and come and be your Lord and be your Savior. If that's you, we really want to pray as a church together out loud and invite you to pray and invite Jesus into your life. If that's you, and if you're on live stream and sound of our voices getting to you, pray this with us and invite him on board. Let Jesus take the wheel. So church, would you pray out loud to encourage those that want to pray, to pray. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on that cross for me. You paid for my sins. Today I say thank you. Today I receive you as Savior and Lord. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that's you and you prayed that prayer, shoot Rod a text. Is Rod accessible? Oh, yes. There's business cards over there at both entrances. Grab it. People are surprised that I give my business cards out. Yep. You can call me in the middle of the night. You can call me anytime. But Jesus is celebrating if you gave your life, and the angels are busting out party if you gave your life to Jesus today. I just want to just encourage us all that we have a God that absolutely loves us and just woos us along with his word today to go for those, that high position, that high place, and that grand old prize of Christ. Grab it with all your might. You need it to get out there in a needy, dying world. We need all the Jesus we can get to help a needy, dying world. We've got to be a hope in a hopeless situation. We've got to be the life, the joy. We've got to be the carriers of his goodness. There is no plan B. We are plan A, and there's no plan B. So those that you come in contact this week need to hear that Jesus loves them. Bring them to Christ, or bring them a step closer to Christ by displaying his goodness and his kindness. So, Father, we absolutely are thankful that you love us and that we want to be in step with you. We want to walk with you. We want to talk with you. We want to hear what you say. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Even while we break in fellowship now and we talk one another, let us hear what you're saying about our brothers and our sisters so we may pray, that we may support, that we may stand, that we may cheer on, that we may encourage, that we may be the vessels through which divine favor flows. Allow us to be that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're welcome to come and get prayer.